covering the first 11 verses, and I want us to realize that the main point of these first 11 verses are to be truly assured of your salvation. It's to confirm your calling from Christ. It's to make you aware that a life in Christ is set apart. It's a life of faith. It's a life of obedience. We never quit growing, right? We keep pushing forward, and our life looks different. Who we are looks different. But what I'm afraid is today there are lots of people sitting in lots of rows after listening to big music shows that are sitting there thinking to themselves about everything but who Christ is. They're sitting there and they're almost just in a raft floating in the middle of the sea where they're just waiting for whatever wind to push them whichever way they should go. But that's not what we're told to do. We're told to be Bereans of the Word. We're told to study the Word. We're told to grow in faith. We're told to stand firm in the truth. We need to be patient and self-controlled and have brotherly affections and love and godliness. And those are the things of a life spent with Christ. It's of the utmost importance today that you remember that you're to hold fast to sound doctrine, to the Word of God, and you're doing it so that in time you might be able to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy, or you can give an account of what you believe in and convict those who might contradict it. In Hebrews 13:9, we're told not to be carried about by various and strange doctrines, right? Not to float, but we have to have a heart that's good, that's established by grace and truth. In our text this morning, Peter reminds us and he stirs us up of to be established in the present truth that it's the only thing that matters. And that truth is that Christ is the Savior and that you are to be submissive and subjective to God. So turn with me to 2 Peter, and we're going to start in verse 8 and work our way through verse 15 this morning. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is nearsighted, that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you in entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that putting off my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Father God, this morning as we come before your throne of grace and mercy, I am praying that we grow in the knowledge of who you are. Father, I'm praying that it's not just head knowledge that we grow in, but Father, our hearts are transformed and conformed, and you make us look more like your Son. Father, I hope that we can see the importance of the truth, that we need to hold on to it tightly, that we can't neglect it. Father, I pray that we remember the truth always. Father, as Peter was writing this, he was coming to the end of his life, and your Holy Spirit encouraged him to write these words, that we have them today, that we can recognize what is true. Father, I pray for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. We tend to be forgetful people. We're actually really, really forgetful people. And the older we get, the more we forget. There, there comes a time in our life when, and it happened to me recently, Jerry, where I went to the kitchen and I thought, was I going to the kitchen or was I leaving the kitchen? Or Nora will attest to this. Nora, where did you put my wallet? She doesn't know. She's never touched it, but I can't remember anything. I can't remember things that aren't important. You know, I read a story the other day about a couple of old men, and the one old man said to the other, he goes, "Boy, it's getting bad. I was on the steps. I couldn't remember if I was going up or coming down." And his buddy goes, "That's terrible, but I got undressed and hopped in the shower and didn't know if I was just getting in or it was time to get out." And the third guy that was with them said, "I am grateful that I'm not like you two. I better knock on wood." And at that moment, he said, "I wonder who's at the door." Right? We're forgetful people. We forget things that don't matter all the time, but we forget things that are really, really, really super important too, right? We forget the truth of who God is. We forget the grace of God. We forget that we're to be established in who God is. And in order to do that, we need to be in His Word, and we need to be studying and spending time there and working through it and being a part of a body that wants to encourage you and build you up in who Christ is. Right? Peter's setting before his readers this morning the idea that they need to remember the truth. And that they need to know the truth so well that they can spot the counterfeit. Study God's word so well, have it memorized and stored up in your heart so that when some odd wind of doctrine that joy might be spouting off comes along, you can go, "That's not true, joy. God said this." Right? Know the truth, remember the truth, be able to recognize it and hold it tightly to who you are. You see, too many people aren't rooted in truth anymore, right? They come to church and they're rooted in all sorts of things. They're rooted in religion. They're not rooted in God. They're rooted in their appearance. They're not rooted in God. You need to be firmly rooted in the truth. And I don't ever want you to believe a word that I say. I want you to fact check me against the only thing that is truth, which is God's holy word. You see, you have a duty not to be negligent when it comes to God's word. In Ephesians 6:14, it says, "Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Having your loins girt about with truth is the idea that you're going to fasten or sew your heart to the thing that's most important, which is God's word and who God is. Our hearts need to be in tune with the truth. And the Apostle John would be inspired to write in 3 John 1:4 that he has no greater joy than to see the children walking in truth. So the truth isn't just something that's stitched to us and we forget about it. It's something that's active in our lives, and we're walking in truth and we're holding it fast. And it's the most important thing that there is to us. In 1 John 2, he says, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." So you know the truth. You know it so well. You're holding it. You're walking in it. You keep it tight to who you are. You're reminded daily of the truth because you're in tune with God. You're holding fast to Him. You know, one of the things that's interesting about Peter as he's writing this message, he's coming to the end of his life. And as he's coming to the end of his life, he's got a true pastor's heart. He wants to make sure that whatever time he has left, whatever that is, that he's going to spend it making sure that these people that read this letter are able to be equipped and established in the truth. Peter wasn't interested in statistics. He wasn't interested in numbers. He wasn't worried about having 6,000 people at his mega church on Sunday. He didn't care about the offering plate. He was interested in people's salvation and holding fast to the word of God. Peter didn't care what everyone thought about him. He cared about his position in Christ. That's what we need to be concerned about, is our position in Christ. I don't need to be worried about the world looking at me and saying, you weirdo, you go to church on Sunday? Or you do this because you believe what God said? Aren't you intelligent? Aren't you a thermometer with multiple degrees? That's a bad joke, I know. Nora's heard it 1,000 times. But those things don't matter, right? The thing that matters is we're rooted in who God is. We're rooted in the truth of Scripture. We're rooted in doing the things that God has called us for. But sadly, today in most churches, people are sitting there and they're not being taught doctrine. They're not being taught the things that truly matter. They're not being established in the truth. They're not being taught that we're saved or born again in truth, according to James 1:18, right? We're saved or born again because of truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Right? Churches need to be worried about teaching the truth, preparing people for what's to come. They need to be worried about people's eternity. But today we have, as Glenn likes to say, big music shows with people sitting in rows being talked to by pastors telling them everything that he knows. So close enough, right? But what we need are people in churches being instructed in the ways of God, being told that the only thing that matters is your relationship with Christ and your belief in the truth. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, if you love Christ, then you are submissive to do what he says. You're not your own. This free gift that you receive doesn't belong to you. It wasn't free, right? It cost someone an awful lot. It cost Jesus his life. So when he purchased you with his blood, when you were washed clean by the blood of the spotless lamb, that was a price. Your response needs to be to grow in the truth, to hold fast to the truth, to love the truth. Because if you love the truth, then you've trusted in him. And if you've trusted in him, you've heard the gospel. And your salvation was brought to you by the truth and the truth alone. There's not a whole bunch of different ways to be saved, right? Salvation only occurs one way. It's not Buddha. It's not Allah. It's not the universal church. It's not how much money you give. It's not Scientology, right? It's by believing the truth of who God has declared Christ to be in his holy and perfect word. And submission to Christ is the only way for forgiveness, right? You submit, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and the Bible says you will be saved. And when you are saved, you are a new creation in Christ. You went from a dead man to a man whose heart beats and lives. And you are responsible for growing in the knowledge of Christ. God has given us everything we need for a life of godliness. You get to hold a copy of his word in your hand. Make sure you're interacting with it. Make sure you're submitting to it. Make sure you're involved with Christ. Go to the Bible and seek to gain knowledge of who Christ is. But not here. Up here, it doesn't do you any good. Stacy pointed out this morning that the distance from here to here, it's really short, but it takes a lot of work and a lot of time for the knowledge that you have here to go into here, right? And I can't will it to happen, right? God does that work, but I'm responsible for reading the Word of God, for being involved with the truth, for being reminded of the truth daily. I want us to stop being worried about making a good impression. And I want us to start being concerned about making an impact on the lives of the world around us. I want us to stop saying, Jesus is my Savior, and start saying, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I want us to be submitting to him. Jesus isn't fire insurance. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. He's the only way. We can't neglect the truth of God's salvation as a gift. We can't be careless or make light of it. In 1 Timothy 4:14, it says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." Don't neglect it. What's that gift? The gift of salvation, the gift of Christ, the life that you're alive and that you've been made well and that you've been restored to a God who saves. And you weren't restored by your own hand, but you were restored by the work of Christ. You were saved by the precious blood of the spotless Lamb. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Have you heard from Jesus? Have you heard from him? Hebrews 2:3 says that you can't escape if you neglect the salvation. You can't escape if you ignore the truth. You are saved by him. As he's at the end of his life, Peter is sitting there just trying to stir up for them all of this information, all of this time, all of this desire for them to be involved with God. And not to be foolish, but to love Christ and to submit to him, to grow in his grace. You know, Matthew said, "But they made light of it," talking about the grace of God. "And they went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise." People are going away from God. They're neglecting the truth. And when you neglect the truth and you're dead, the end is not pretty. You need to be alive in Christ. You need to be committed to the truth. Don't be negligent in the things of God. Peter uses his final words, this final letter, this time to push the people that were reading it then to the truth. But it's here for you today as a reminder, because we're not any different than they were. We're just as forgetful. Remember I said, I don't know where my wallet is? I don't know why I got on the steps? Jerry couldn't remember if he was just getting in the shower or out of the shower, right? We forget things. We forget things that don't matter, and we neglect the truth of God's word. Week in and week out, people show up in churches and they get a little bit of Jesus for 15 minutes, right? They get a 15-minute sermonette and they go about their lives and never think about Jesus again until they show up the following week. That's not what you're called to do. You're called to be stirred up. You're called to be reminded. You're called to walk in truth every single day. Too many people are just in a casual relationship with Jesus. And what Jesus calls you to be is committed to him. You're not your own. You are a bondservant or slave, just like Peter. You were purchased. You belong to Christ. Now, we need to make sure that we're retaining the truth as well, though, right? It's not enough to know it or read through it. It's got to be applicable to your life. It's got to be gripped onto. He wants us to be able to recall it at a moment's notice. He wants us to keep pushing forward and not have intellectual knowledge, but heart knowledge of Christ. He doesn't want us to be noisy, clanging gongs just going around. He wants us to be in tune with the things of God. He wants us to be reminded of who he is. In Psalm 25, it says, "Lead me in thy truth. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day." Does that define your life? Do you pray that God leads you in the truth? Do you pray that he's teaching you day and night? Do you acknowledge that he is the God of your salvation? Do you wait on him day and night? We need to be committed, that committed to truth, that committed to God. We need to be like what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 40. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. We need to be waiting on the Lord. We need to be involved with him. We need to pray that his loving kindness continually preserves us. I don't know that we can do it perfectly. In fact, I know that I can't do it perfectly. But I know that I need to grow in the grace of God. I need to depend on him more and more each and every single day. I need to be remembering the work that was done on the cross at Calvary. I need to be remembering that God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. I need to remember that he is in control, that he is my rock, that he is my safe place. He is the foundation, right? God is truth. We are just ever so fortunate to be able to hold God's precious truth in our very hands. We live in a time unlike any other where we have access to God's word everywhere we go. I'm going to make the assumption that almost everyone in this room has a smartphone. You can carry God's word with you on your phone. I have it on my iPad, pocket Bible. You can carry God's word with you. But we don't. We don't remember to do that. We don't remember to study the scriptures. We don't remember that we're to be custodians of the truth. We're keepers of the truth. We have it and we hold it, and we need to choose the way of truth. We need to choose it each and every day. We need to let not mercy and truth forsake thee, but bind them about my neck and write them upon the table of thine heart, according to Proverbs 3, right? We need to bind mercy and truth to us. We need to hold it tight. We need to wear it. We need to want God to write it on our hearts. We need these things in our life, because if we don't have them, we're on that raft in the ocean waiting just to be blown about whichever way comes. Last week I told Ellie and Jason after Dan's message, I said, the whole point of Dan's message was to do the work, to be involved with God. Don't just float. Because if we're just floating, that tide is pulling us back. And guess what we're being pulled towards in and of ourselves? It's not truth. We're being pulled away from God. So with all of your might, with all of your being, swim against the current. Hold tight to God. Know that as you're swimming and doing the work and memorizing scripture and being involved with God, that he's there pulling you along. That your desire to do those things is a gift from God. If you truly desire those things, he's the one that's doing it in you. You're being submissive to the Spirit of God that for whatever reason he chose to give to us and bind us to him. It's our promise. But too many times, young people and old people and people in the middle, we all decide that we're just going to float. We're just going to rest in Jesus. We're just going to get blown about to and fro. Know who God is. Know the truth. Hold on to it, because you're a custodian of it. And as a custodian of the truth, you have the privilege of knowing God. You get to see and read God's very words. And if you want God to speak to you aloud, Linda says, just read your Bible out loud. You want to hear God speak, read your Bible aloud, because God is speaking through his living word today. He's using his words to convict and correct, to grow us, to teach us, to show us who we are to be in Christ. Peter seeks to keep us and them remembering the truth. He seeks to keep us having the truth as our number one concern. What does the truth do? What does the truth do for you? The truth is the thing that set you free from your sins. The truth is the thing that set you free from religion. The truth is the thing that sets your aim on God. It's an odd one to read, right? The truth sets you free from religion. Because in America today and throughout the world, you ask somebody what you are. Oh, they're not, I'm a Christian or I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a non-denominational believer. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a whatever they choose to be. How about we're people that are involved with the living God? I don't need religion. I need Christ. I need the truth of Christ. I need set free from my sin. I need to keep my aim on Him. Religion is nothing more than man deciding ways that he thinks he can please an infinitely and holy God. Are you able to please God with your works? All those good works Stacy's doing? All the good? All the stuff she's out there pushing forward and doing? Is she able to please God with those things? They're just filthy rags. Right? All of our work and all of our efforts isn't going to save us. It's dependence. It's being dependent upon God alone. That's what set us free from sin. That's what sets us free from religion. And that's how we stay the course. In 1 Peter 1:22, he says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with pure hearts fervently." Your purified souls are from obeying the truth through the Spirit of God. Truth is all that matters. And because we have that truth, are you loving the brethren? Are you loving the body of Christ? And I don't mean just this group of people that meets on Sundays. I mean the body of Christ that exists. All the members of the body. All those that are concerned with the things of God. Are you helping bear the burdens of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you helping to stir them up and remind them of their reliance on God? Are you doing the thing that Peter said to do, was to stir them up? Are you out doing that work? Are you out studying so that you can show yourself approved? The truth is all that matters. We are so fortunate to have God. We are so fortunate that God has chosen to save a wretch like us. There isn't a single person sitting here today that deserves God's grace, mercy, or forgiveness. And sometimes we forget that. We almost get to the point where we say, "God, aren't you lucky to have me? Boy, God, look at all the work that Mike's doing for you. He's doing all the work. Aren't you lucky to have Mike? Ellie, you are doing some work with Jason, so we're going to give you a pass. But aren't we lucky to have God? Isn't God lucky to have me? Proper perspective comes from knowing the truth of who you are and who God is. You were God's enemy. You hated Him more than anything. And you're sitting there thinking, "No, I didn't hate God." I beg to differ. I can admit that I hated God. I thought He was awful. If He existed, He was awful. I didn't want to be involved with those fairy tales in that book that my grandparents wanted me to read or look at. Yeah, it was just fairy tales. I hated God. You may not have been as far down the spectrum as I was, but the truth is, God did a work in my life where He corrected my thinking. He gave my dead heart. He made it alive, and I sought after Him. And I sought after Him because someone had shown me the truth. Those people that were custodians of the truth, they proclaimed it to me, and God made me alive. And I had heard the truth I'm slow, but at least hundreds of times, Jerry. At least hundreds of times, and it meant nothing to me until that day that God did the work in my life and opened my eyes and gave me ears to hear. He transformed my life. And I am so grateful that I have been purified and made right by the blood of the spotless Lamb. I want us to remember that we need to dwell in the truth. And the truth is that thing which we hold dearly, which is the Word of God and His Son Jesus. Now, there are fierce warnings in God's Word concerning those that don't seek or care for the care for the truth. In Romans 1:18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Right? People that don't believe the truth have the wrath of God coming for them. In Romans 1:25, "Those who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator." That's happening all around us today. Right? What happens to those people? What happens to those that worship the creature more than the Creator? They don't know the truth. They haven't been set free. They're captive to sin. And there's only one way that that ends. How about Galatians 3:1, where they would write, "Oh, foolish Galatians," or "Oh, foolish Ryan, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth?" Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you. Let's not be like those foolish Galatians who were exchanging the truth for a lie, who were adding to the work of God. Let's be holding firm to what God has said and what God has done. I don't want to hear that we did run well, but who did hinder you? What happened at the end there? Why did you fall away? Why weren't you one of me? Why didn't you hold to the truth? Why didn't you love me enough to be involved with my word? Today, people are just tossed about to and fro. They want their best life now, and they want every day to be Friday. They want to live their lives without a care in the world. It's the first time I've ever seen Joy raise a hand in church when I said every day is Friday. She liked that idea. But every day is not Friday. We don't want that to be the truth, right? We want better days that are coming. My wife's grandmother, Grandma B, as we called her, carried her Bible with her, and it was all written over. It was all the notes that she had made and all the questions she had. And one of the things she always used to tell us when things seemed bad was not to worry. Better days are coming for those that love Jesus. Even when she was at the end of her life with dementia and not well, she still knew that better days were coming. She knew that because she loved the truth. She loved the truth of who Christ was. She didn't care about all of the man-made rules and terminology. She cared about being involved with the living God, the one who was so gracious to give her a copy of His Word that she could hold in her hand and study. She didn't worry whether it was an NASB, an ESV, an NKJV, a KJV like Paul carried. That's right. Or any of the other numbers. What she worried about was that she had the living Word of God in her hand and that she was oh so fortunate to know that her Savior and Lord was going to bring her home. No matter how hard it got, she was looking forward. She was looking forward to being with Jesus. And I am certain that she heard, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Because she was a woman that loved Christ like no other. She was a woman at a time when it wasn't popular to have young men at your home from different backgrounds than what your family was. She was the one going into the cities and getting those kids and showing them the love of Christ. She was doing the work of the ministry, and she was giving them the truth of who God was. And she didn't care what the world thought about her. She was only concerned with what Christ thought. She was only concerned with being loved by Jesus. She was only concerned with showing the love of Christ to others. She was only concerned with being patient and faithful and filled with godliness. She didn't care what Jerry thought about her, or I thought about her, or anyone else thought about her. She cared that the resurrected King of Kings loved her. I want us to have a heart like that today. I want us to be people that are calling for justice from Christ and God. I want us to be people that are standing on the truth. I want us to be so involved with God and His Word and loving so much that we're praying for the nations and we're praying for the lost. And we're going to do that by adhering to God's truth and His Word. We need correction today in this world, don't we? The world's a wacky place. A lot of odd things happening. People have exchanged the truth for a fable. They're heaping to themselves all sorts of wickedness and teachers to their itching ears because they want to be pleased. People today are making Christ over into their image. Well, I'm going to make Christ a little bit like me so he's better off. That's what they're saying, right? I'm going to make Christ like me so I can do what I want because I know better than God. I promise you, you don't. Because I'm not the source of truth. You're not the source of truth. God is the only source of truth. I guess what I'm calling for you to do today is fear God and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and to put away the gods of your fathers, which were on the other side of the flood. Don't serve the world. Serve the resurrected King. My prayer is that you let God lead you and teach you. Right? Psalm 25:5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day. We need to be in love with God. When we leave today, I want us to not float, but to swim against the current. I want us to do the work. I want us to grow in knowledge and grace. I want us to love Christ more than anything. I want us to not have the tendencies to think we have it all figured out. That happens. Somewhere around, Nora, you're 15, somewhere around 12-ish, she had it all figured out and I became real dumb. You with teenagers understand this. It happens 12 to 15. I'm still waiting not to be stupid, Jerry. I hope you know. When does that happen? He's still waiting, right? I don't want us to have the tendency to think we have it all figured out like our teenage children do, right? I want us to lean on God, knowing that there is still lots and lots and lots for you to learn. And the only way you're going to learn the will of God and do the will of God and is to be involved with His truth. Don't stop swimming. Be like Nemo. Keep swimming, keep swimming, keep swimming, keep swimming. Jason got that reference. He likes that movie. You know, there are people sitting in here that have been Christians for many, 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 many moons. Decades. Not tens of decades, but that'd make them real old, right, Jerry? You know, 40, 50, 60 years people have been involved with Christ and they've heard sermon after sermon and Sunday school after Sunday school. And they've heard many preachers preach through the same text. But have you been involved with the Word yourself? Have you done the work? Have you dove in? Have you not believed what the guy in the pulpit said? But go check for yourself. Make sure he's leading you in the truth. The Bible is the living word of God. It's the living word of God, and it's the thing that transforms wretched lives. So hold fast to it. Know that it is God-breathed, and you can hear from the God who saves by simply reading his word. Scripture is the only food that we need. It's our spiritual food, and regardless of how much scripture or spiritual food you had yesterday, guess what you need? You need a little more. So keep reading, keep studying, keep spending your time with him. I pray that as we go out and we engage with the world around us, that we're so versed in the truth that we can spot the counterfeits and that we can give an account of who God is from his word, not from what you think or how you feel, but from what he has said. Father, this morning as we've spent time in your word, I hope and I pray that we are people that seek truth above all. Father, I pray that we have a heart like Peter, where our desire is to stir people up in the truth and to point them to the Savior, to show them who God is. Father, I pray that as we're out and about this week, that we keep our spiritual tank filled with your food, your word. Father, let us not be people that float and that are blown about, but let us be the people that swim against the riptide and the currents. Let us be the people that are being drawn to you. Father, my hope this morning is that if there are any that do not know you, that haven't been subjected to the love of Christ, that you would drop them to their knees and that they would call out for salvation. Father, I pray that as we finish up in song, that our voices would be pleasing to you and that we would be worshiping you and praising you, and that you would be a God that shows us the love that you have. We pray these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.